Phenomenal, legendary, and blessed morning, noon, night, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to Mustard Seed Movement, and I am Dracia. So I recently recorded a video, realized that I did not have not my headset in nor my mic in, so it probably is poor quality. So I'm going to try this again. So I'm telling on myself right now, right? In the past, I've mentioned it in other videos that I have struggled with watching porn and masturbation, right? And for quite some time, I did not document when was the last time up until, yes, y'all, I slipped up, current time, twice. But lately I've been watching videos from different ministries and not necessarily pastors per se, because I don't feel like pastors talk about this issue. Not necessarily the issue of masturbation and porn watching and stuff like that, but in general, walking this life out and understanding that you being a Christian, you walking this life out as faithfully and faith-filled as possible, you will still make mistakes. And the reason why people don't quite understand this is because I don't know where this false idea of that when you become saved, when you give your life to Christ, that all of a sudden everything else goes away. It doesn't. Temptation does not go and disappear just because you made a commitment to God. It doesn't. It's still going to be very much alive, not dormant. And these are the things in which you have to seek God and sometimes seek counsel to help you grow and get through. So I don't consider myself an addict because for me and what I understand, and I can be, please correct me if I'm wrong, it is not something that I feel like I cannot live without doing. It is not something that I do on a regular basis. And it's not something that I typically binge on and go to like a point of no return, quote unquote. However, I do recognize that it is at times it is a self-control issue. Now, we know the human body has its natural hormones and all that stuff, and your body naturally desires things. The difference is, especially when you're walking in Christ, not that the desires and the temptations won't be there. The difference is recognizing when that temptation hits, when that desire hits, and knowing what to do after it to hopefully not fall prey to it. But doesn't mean that you won't. And so I needed to be clear, because if you're dealing with something like addiction, or even if you don't have an addiction, but it's something that you enjoy, and maybe to you and maybe to others, and maybe you even did read it in the Word, it doesn't serve you well, right? To walk it, like to do it while you're walking as a Christian. For instance, smoking a cigarette, right, is not essentially a sin in the Word of God. However, it deteriorates your body. It causes things like cancer and other ailments, breathing problems. So essentially, it's not really good for your body. And in the Word of God, it talks about your body being a temple. And it should be a temple where the Holy Spirit can live in. But people get flack for smoking. As a Christian, I'm not giving you flack for smoking. It stinks. It's not favorable. Like, it doesn't necessarily smell good in a room full of people. But I'm not throwing my daggers at you because you're a smoker. Let's talk about cursing. Now, I'm going to be real with you. I don't curse all the time, but I curse sometimes. However, when someone curses a lot and favorably uses MFers and F-bombs, it does something to my ears ever so often, especially if it's like back to back, you know, like in comedy, sometimes when it's back to back, it can get a bit much, right? The language can be considered raunchy or vulgar. I'm not throwing daggers at these people. I prefer that in my presence, you don't use it as much. But if you do, you do. I'm not crucifying you for doing that, right? And so the reason why I wanted to do this video is because somebody may be looking to me like, oh, she's really seasoned in the word. She knows what she's talking about. She goes to church regularly, which I don't go to church every Sunday. I haven't been to church for the last 3 Sundays, maybe. And just because of how my day went and stuff like that, I did not set myself up right. But that's another thing. Like, I would have to find a scripture in the word, but God talks about it's not the things that we will do per se that will get us into the kingdom of heaven. It's not. There's people that are going to church faithfully every Sunday, going to Bible study, doing this, that, and the third, and they may not make it into the kingdom of heaven. For whatever reason that is, that God will decide. Which leads me to my point. So literally in the word, in Matthew 7:1, it says, judge not that you be not judged. We are very judgmental. People in the Western world, people in America are very judgmental. Very judgmental. And yet when we look at ourselves, we will judge ourselves based on our intentions, but then judge somebody else based on their actions. That's not a fair go. It's not. And so I'm saying all of this to say, one, I'm always going to tell on myself when I do something. And two, trust and believe I probably went to God about it already because he's my number one judge. Now, I don't believe, so here's where my beliefs come from, right? There is a level of judgment that we do have to have, and it's probably more so considered discernment than it is judgment. When you are hanging around a bunch of people that maybe are doing sinful acts, and your spirit, for lack of a better term, tends to fall prey to the circles in which you hang around, and you don't have a lot of self-control, you're probably going to have to separate yourself. Because being in that environment sets you up for falling prey to the sin that you're essentially attempting to avoid, attempting to not engage in anymore, right? And there are times when you will need to be in the thick of things because you represent Christ, and people are going to look to you and be like, wow, they're in this environment and they're not doing XYZ. And they may wonder why. And then when they question you and you say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christ follower, I believe in what the word says, they might be intrigued to know more. So you may be required to be in those spaces, but you cannot engage in everything that everyone is engaging in. So for me, I really pride myself on telling people this is a judgment-free zone. So even in conversation with me, it's a judgment-free zone. Because whatever you tell me in confidence, one, I don't feel like I have the right to judge. However, if you ask me if what you're doing is correct in the eyes of God, be prepared for the answer. It's not a level of judgment, but it's giving you discernment to understand how God views this thing. We also have to be good judge of character, right? Not in the sense to exile a person. Now, if you need to part away from somebody, right? Like, so somebody that's easily angered and has a very high temper, and the possibility of them popping off could cause you to be in trouble, you might need to separate yourself. And in doing that, whether you have that kind of relationship with that person, you might have to tell them, hey, like, I cannot associate with you just because when you do these type of things, we tend to get in trouble, and I don't want to be in trouble. So you don't want to be in trouble. You don't want to get yourself into trouble being in that environment. But again, we don't have the ability to judge so harshly of a person that, one, when we judge people so harshly, we put ourselves in a place of like, we're the authority, we're not. And then, two, we are missing out on the opportunity for someone to be able to see God in a different light. A lot of the ways that we judge people make people not want to be Christ followers because they believe that there's no way in for them. They have to come to God perfectly before they can be accepted. And that is the hardcore untrue thing. God is not waiting for you to be perfect for you to come to Him. You smoke, you drink, you're a prostitute, what is it? I'm gonna say party, but even partying to me is not necessarily sin, what you do at the party at the end of the day. But let's just say, you're a guy or a girl and you sleep with a lot of people. You're not necessarily a prostitute and making money off of it, but you like sex. You like sex and you're engaging in it with other people. Even if you're doing that, I am not the authority to judge you. If you come to me asking me how God sees this, I can correct you. I can lead you to God's word and tell you where it shows you that sex is preserved for two people in covenant in marriage. But that's not my place to judge you. So me coming here and telling you guys that I slipped up and, I was holding myself accountable for a good long time to not masturbate for my own personal reasons, not because it's an actual sin in the Bible. But how I look at masturbation is that it's a selfish act, one, because I'm looking to please myself. And two, I don't want to desensitize myself for when I do meet my husband. And now we're in our marital bed and he's struggling to please me because I've mastered pleasing myself. So I'm saying all of this to say, hi, my name is Dracia. I'm a Christian and I fall short of the glory of God, kind of on a regular basis. And when I say on a regular basis, I'm not saying I'm masturbating every day. I'm not. Actually, it had been, I'm almost certain it had been literally maybe 6 months since the last time I did that. And I had a weak moment. And we're all gonna have them. I've been walking out my faith journey since I was 17. I'm 43. And I have had major slip-ups. Major. From premarital sex to other things, like major. So I need people to be encouraged that, one, you don't have to be already saved and sanctified, or you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to stop currently. You don't have to stop what you're currently doing in order to meet Jesus, in order to start developing that relationship. Because I promise you, the more and the more and the more that you develop that relationship with Christ, you're not going to desire those things. Let me correct that. Like in your mind, like you, how do I'm trying to properly word this because the desires do come, right? Natural, like your natural body desires will still ignite. But you'll be able to be better at making the decision to not engage. Let's say it that way. You'll get better at applying self-control, which is a gift of the spirit. It's one of the gifts of the spirit, self-control. But I had a weak moment. And I went to God. I repented for it the first time. And then the second time, I had another weak moment. And I could be I'm gonna just be honest. I wanted to do it. Let's just be real. I wanted to do it. However, after I felt what I felt. I felt the conviction. You know, we're gonna be real honest right now. I don't always want to do the right thing. I don't always want to do the right thing. That's just the real. I don't always want to do the right thing, y'all. But as I continue to develop my relationship with Christ, the more that I'm in His Word, the more that I'm in His presence, the more that I desire what He desires. But guess what? When I repent and tell God, this is what I've done, even though I know He's seen it, this is what I've done, and I'm truly sorry for it, and I want to get back to that space where I have more self-control, help me. Sometimes He might be like, get in my Word. Because maybe I haven't been in my Word as much. Get in my house. Maybe I haven't been at church as much. And I just told y'all I missed several weeks of church. Worship. I haven't, like, I worshiped the other day with no music because I just, the Holy Spirit had a way in my heart as I was watching one of Tim Ross's videos. Shout out to Tim Ross. I love him. I love his content. He doesn't know me from a hole in a wall, but, you know, shout out. But yeah, a lot of the things that he's talking about is so relevant to my life right now. It's so relevant to today and the world that we're living in. And I'm loving every bit of what he's saying to us. I'm loving every bit of what, like, he's saying to us and what he's sharing. And it's inspired me to be even more vulnerable and more transparent with you guys. Because we need it. But this is the whole, that partially sparked this video because people are not explaining that walking this life out does not look perfect. And somebody who has been walking this life out for some time and has grown over the years, like where I am now is not where I was when I was 17. And where I am now is not where I was 5 years ago. Things are significantly changing in my faith walk, in my understanding of God's word, in what I share even. And I just need you guys to like really understand you're not meant to come to God perfectly. He will perfect you in your weaknesses and you'll still never be perfect because as long as we are human beings on this earth, we're going to mess up. Somebody's going to piss us off. We might curse somebody out. We might not always be in character that looks like the image of God. I can attest to that. Like, seriously, we're not going to do this life perfectly. And I need you to understand that it's okay. The right people won't judge you so harshly. Right people will correct you. And if you ask the question, they'll be honest with you. Like I said, you ask me the question, I'm going to tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. But at the same time of me telling you the truth of what God wants, I'm still going to have grace and compassion for where you are now. Because you got time to get there. I'm letting you know with this faith walk that I've had and that I continue to walk out, I'm not doing this thing perfectly, but God has grace and compassion for me. And He tells me. Sorry, guys, that was an interruption of a call again. So anyway, where was I? Yeah. Walking this faith life thing is not easy. And if anybody told you that it is, they lied to you. I would prefer not to lie to you. I don't know everything about everything, but I know a little about a little. And I'm going to share that with you. And I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to take over wherever is necessary. But I need you to understand that you're not going to get this thing out perfectly. You don't have to come to God perfectly. You can come as the flawed human being that you are, because I am a flawed human being. And I just want to add to this. Your preachers, your ministers, your deacons, your bishops, they are flawed as well. I need you to understand that God uses us human beings who still are human in nature. So if you understand some degree of human nature, you know that sometimes we can be selfish. We can have egos. We are flawed because there are wounds that may or may not have been healed from since childhood, even in adulthood. Maybe things have happened like divorces and stuff like that. Have grace for the people that you encounter. If you, and this goes into another topic, and maybe I can expound on it later, because things like church hurt, we have to address that church hurt may not have been the church in its entirety, because as long as we are Christians, we are the church. But maybe a specific church is the one that hurt you. And other churches shouldn't be ridiculed for the fact that you were hurt at this specific church, or that a person in that specific church hurt you, right? And that goes into another topic. I'll expand on that. But I think we all of us, and I mean all of us, need to hold a space of grace and compassion, because none of us are doing this life without mistakes. None of us are doing this life without falling short of the glory of God. And so that was another scripture that I wanted to bring to your attention, is that Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We have to pay attention to how the Bible speaks. All is an absolute word. It applies to everyone. Everyone. So I want you to think about that when you think of people that are not necessarily doing or showing up in the image of God when they're claiming to be Christians. We all need work. And not all of us, thank you, Holy Spirit, not all of us are all doing the work. There's work to be done when you walk this faith life out. And not all of us are doing the work, which is why you fall prey to the people that can cast so much harsh judgment on other people, but they're not even looking at themselves and what they're doing. There is scripture that talks about pointing out the error in somebody else's eye when you've got a bigger issue going on in yours. I can't remember it verbatim. I'm just gonna be honest, and that's, I'm just gonna be real with it, and I'm not gonna, you know, search it per se right now. I can, you know, link it at the bottom of the description, in the description box, the scriptures that I'm referencing, so you have it written somewhere for context. But read it for yourself. And I will say, when you read certain scriptures, like how I pulled out these particular scriptures, if you read the entire scripture that's attached to it, like the entire book, or that entire like scripture section, it may be talking about something else. But the rule or the principle can still be applied in this context. And so I want you to understand that too when you're reading the word for yourself. Because no matter what I say here, and I'm going to constantly talk about this, no matter what I say here, go back to God and his word to get confirmation for yourself. This is the problem sometimes we have too with listening to our preachers. And one of my mentors, because not saying that your preacher doesn't have it right, but they can sometimes get it wrong, again, because they're human, but we hope that the Holy Spirit is imparting truth to them. But one of the things that my mentor, one of my mentors always tells me is take the meat and throw away the bone. So even if what I'm saying doesn't resonate with you or you're like, she's wrong in that, take the meat and throw away the bone. Take away from it what you can and throw away the rest. But anytime someone gives you prophecy, word from God, any kind of advice, exactly what I'm doing here, take it back to the Word of God and get confirmation for yourself. Take it back to the Word of God and read it for yourself and gain that understanding so that you can have that wisdom and that knowledge to possibly pass on to someone else. So that's all my spiel. I love you guys. I know this message blessed you. And the only thing that I'm going to ask you is to share it with somebody else so that someone else can be blessed. I love you. And I'm sending you love, light, love, life, and light in Christ. And I'll see you in the next video.